Welcome back to the OU Shnei Mikra project and our study of Parshat Vayeshev. This is Menachem Liptag. In today's show, we study Revi, the fourth Aliyah, beginning with chapter 38, Perek Lamed Chet. We're going to take a break today from the study of Yosef and his brothers, and today's show will focus on the story of Yehuda and the birth of his children. The next Aliyah in Chamishi will return to the story of Yosef and his brothers. Pasuk Aleph, Vayi Beit Ahi, and it came to pass at that time. Well, there's an argument among the commentators. How connected is the story of Yehuda to the story of Yosef being sold? If Bayhi Behetahi was referring to the same time of when Yosef was sold, then there'd be a thematic connection between the stories. It could be, however, that this opening line, Bayhi Behetahi, may be a general introduction to a story that's about to be told, and may not necessarily mean that it's connected to the story beforehand. Logic would dictate that it would be connected to the story beforehand. However, when we do a calculation of the years that transpire in this story, we're going to see that it's almost impossible for the story to have began after Yosef was sold, because there simply are not enough years for the events to transpire. Ebenezer deals with this topic, and we'll mention his approach later in our shir today. So again, it came to pass at that time, Vayered Yehuda Meitachav, and Yehuda went down from his brothers. From a midrashic standpoint, it would look like this pasuk is telling us that Yehuda's stature had gone down. And this again could be because of the events that happened in the previous chapter. However, there's also a geographic reason for the use of this word, Vayered Yehuda Meitachav, because Yehuda and his brothers were living on the mountain range, in the area of Hebron, on the mountain range, and now he's going to go downhill to the Shvela, to the area of Adulam, which is a little south of Ramat Beit Shemesh today, in the area of Emek Eilah. Even to this day, there's a settlement area called Heva Adulam, which is located a little bit south of the area of Beit Shemesh. Again, Vayhi Be'et Ahi, Vayered Yehuda Meitachav, Vayet Ad Ish Adulami Ushmo Chira. And he moved his tent, or his dwelling, from the mountain range where he was living with his brothers, to a man from Adulam, and that man's name, who became his friend, his name was Chira. The word Vayet we had earlier by Avram Avinu, in the beginning of Perek Yud Bet, in the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha, when Avram is traveling from Shechem on his way to Beit El, there in Pasuk Chet it says, Vayetek Misham Hehara, he went from Shechem, he continued traveling south along the top of the mountain range, Mikedem leBeit El, Vayeto Holo, a little to the east of Beit El, and there he pitched his tent. As Avram is traveling from one location to another, the verb that Chumash uses is Vayet Holo. So here also, as Yehuda is moving his location and his dwelling, he's going down from the mountain range, and he's moving his location to the area of Adulam, where he befriends a man from the area of Adulam, and his name is Chira. Vayarsham Yehuda bat ish Knani ushmo Shua. There in Adulam, Yehuda sees the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua, and he took her for a wife, and he slept with her. The simple meaning of Ish Knani here would mean someone from Canaanite descent. However, many commentators say that Knani here does not mean a Canaanite, but rather it means a merchant. We explained this earlier in our previous year, that because the land of Canaan is along a major trade route, and many caravans and traders pass on the way from Egypt to Mesopotamia through the land of Canaan. In the second usage, the word Knani can indicate a merchant and not necessarily someone who is a descendant from the family of Canaan. Pasuk Gimel, Vatar Vatelet Ben, this daughter of Shua, who Yehuda married, conceived and she gave birth to a son, Vayikra et Shmo Er, and Yehuda called the name of that son Er. Vatar Od Vatelet Ben, she conceived once again and gave birth to another son, Vatikra et Shmo Onan. This time the mother gave the name to the baby, and she named the second son Onan. Vatosef od vatelet ben, she had yet another child, vatikra et shmo Shelah, and she gave the name for this child as well, and named him Shelah. Vahaya bichziv belideta oto. This last phrase is rather difficult to translate, but it seems to indicate that Yehuda was in chziv when she gave birth to Shelah. Why this detail is important is not clear. Most commentators explain that Chziv is a city which is a little south of Adulam. There's another possibility that it's the city of Achziv, which is way up north in the area of Akko and Nahariya, and that might explain why she's giving the name, because her husband is so far away. But in any case, Yehuda gives birth to three children from his wife, who was the daughter of Shua and Ish Knani. Pasuk Vav. Vayikach Yehuda isha le'er b'choro u'shma Tamar. Yehuda now takes a wife for his son Er, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. Just a quick note here about how many years passed by. If Yehuda gives birth to three children, and these children already grow up and are old enough to get married, then at least 15 years or so transpire between Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Vav. Now, how much time do we have for the story to take place if it all began after Yosef was sold? We know that Yosef was sold when he was 17, and it's about 20 years later when the brothers come down to Egypt looking for food in the time of the famine. Therefore, if this story began only after Yosef was sold, that only gives us 20 years for all these events to take place. For Yehuda to get married himself, to have three children, and then for those children to be old enough to get married, to fit all that into 20 years is very difficult. Therefore, commentators like Ibn Ezra suggest that this story really began earlier, before Yosef was sold. In other words, Yehuda had already made friends with this Isha Dulami before Yosef was sold, and possibly he had already given birth to some children, and the story of Yosef being sold would happen somewhere in the middle of Perek Lamed Chet, between Pasuk Hei and Pasuk Vav. Let's continue now with Pasuk Zayin. Vahi er b'chor Yehuda rab b'nei Adonai. Er, the firstborn of Yehuda, was wicked in the eyes of God, v'miteu Adonai. And because of his wicked behavior, God made sure that he died at a young age. It's not clear from the Psukim what his sin was. The commentators, however, claim that his sin has to be something similar to the sin of his brother Onan, as we'll see in the next Pasuk. Pasuk Chet, v'yomer Yehuda lo Onan, bo el eshet achicha v'yabemota. Because Er died before he had any children, Yehuda now commands Onan to follow the custom of Yibum, and in order that Er should have some descendant, he asks his brother Onan to have Yibum with Tamar in order to have a son to carry the name of Er. V'hakim zera l'achicha, and by doing so, you will keep the seed of your brother alive. V'yida Onan ki lo yehazara. Onan knew, however, that if he did Yibum with Tamar and had a child from Tamar, the child would not be considered his. Therefore, v'haya imbao eshet achiv v'shichet arza. Therefore, when he slept with the wife of his brother, with Tamar, he made sure that she would not get pregnant. L'dotin natan zera l'achiv. And by doing this, he did not enable Er, his brother, to have any descendant. God was unhappy with this behavior of Onan, and therefore, v'yira b'nei Adonai asher asa, v'yamet gam oto, and therefore, he made sure that Onan died as well. The commentators explain that when it says v'yamet gam oto, that he also was killed by God, they say that the sin of Er was similar to the sin of Onan, and based on this, the entire concept that wasting one's seed is a terrible act in the eyes of God is based on this story. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Yehuda leTamar kalato. After Tamar had lost two husbands, Yehuda tells her as follows: Shvi amana beit avich. I want you to return to your father's house and remain there as a widow. In other words, don't marry anybody else. Adi gal shela bani, until my son Shela, until he's old enough to do Yibum. Ki amar, because he said to himself, pen yamut gam hu ki achav. The pasuk seems to be explaining now why Yehuda, even though he told Tamar to wait until Shela gets older, is also explaining why he doesn't give Shela to Tamar, because he's afraid that maybe he'll die as well. It seems like Yehuda thinks that the death of his two sons is because of Tamar. Vatelech Tamar vatesha beit avia. So Tamar followed Yehuda's instructions, and she went and stayed in her father's house. She stayed there as a widow and did not marry anyone else. Tamar was expecting that when Shelah was old enough, Yehuda would give Shelah to her as a husband in order to perform Yibum for his two brothers. But now something different happens. Pasuk Yud Bet, Vatesha Beit Aviyah, she remains in her father's house. Yehuda never gives Shelah to Tamar as a husband. And now many years are going to pass by, as we'll see in the next Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayirbu Hayamim, many years pass by. Vatamot Batshua Eshet Yehuda, Batshua, Yehuda's first wife, she passes away. Vayinachem Yehuda, Yehuda was looking now for comfort, wanted to do something to get his mind off of that. Vayau agozazei tzono, hu v'chira re'ehu hadulami timnata. He together with his friend and comrade Chira, it's time for them to share their sheep. They're going to a city named Timna, which is not too far from the city of Ekron today, a little west of the area of Adulam. If anyone's ever taken the train from Beit Shemesh to Ramlah, the train passes through the area of Timna. The story of Shimshon and Delilah takes place as well in the area of Timna. So in this story, Yehuda is on his way to take care of the sheep, together with his friend Chira. And now that Yehuda and Chira are in the area, not too far from Tamar, by Yugada Tamar Lemor, Tamar was told, Hinei chamich ole timnata lagoz tzono. Behold, your father-in-law, he's going now, traveling towards Timna, in order to share his sheep. She wants to take advantage of the situation in order to entice Yehuda to sleep with her. Therefore, she took off the clothing, showing that she was a widow. Instead, she put on nice clothing in order to become more attractive. after dressing up in this manner, she sat and waited in the crossroads, seemingly as a harlot would do, Asher derech Timnata, on the road to Timnata, knowing that Yehuda would be passing by soon. Ki ra'ata ki gadal Sheila. Why did she do this? Because she noticed that Sheila was old enough already to do Yibum, v'hi lo nitna lo li'isha. But nevertheless, she was not given to Sheila as a wife. Therefore, she decides to take action to do something in order to have a child from the family of Yehuda. Pasuk Tetvav. Vayireha Yehuda, Yehuda saw what appeared to be a harlot sitting on the side of the road. Ve'achshevel zona. Yehuda thought that she was a harlot. Ki chista panel, because he dressed in a manner covering her face the way that harlots do at that time. Pasuk Tetzayin. Vayet eleha al haderach. Note the same verb again, vayet, which is to move one's tent or dwelling from one place to another. Vayomer. Hava na avo elayich, allow me to sleep with you. Ki lo yada ki chalatohi. Yehuda had no idea that it was Tamar that he was talking to. But Tomer, mati tenli ki tavo elay. She said to him, what will you give me in compensation for the service that I'm going to give you? But Yomer, he said to her, onochi ha-shalach gdi izim miratzon, I'll make you a promise in compensation that he would send her a kid goat from his flock of sheep. She responds back, but Tomer, im titen eravon ad shlachecha, I'll agree to this if you give me some collateral until you send it to me. Vayomer, mahe eravon asher ten lach. Yehuda asked Tamar, what collateral must I give you until I send you what I promised? Vatomer, chotamcha uptilecha. A chotam in ancient times was a ring that important people used to sign their documents and seal them, and that way they would know it was written by that person. Uptilecha, the ptil, seems to be a type of a chain that was used to carry the chotam. The chotam and ptil came together. Other commentators say that the ptil has nothing to do with the chotam, but rather it's a type of a zor, it's a type of a sash that someone wears to show how important he is. Umatcha asher biyadecha, and the staff that's in your hand. In other words, all of these three things are something that important people have, and therefore Tamar says, I want these three items as collateral until you send me the goat that you promised. Vayitein la, Yehuda seems to have been very eager to get on with this, therefore he gave Tamar everything she asked for. Vayavoi leha, he slept with her, vatahar lo, and sure enough, she became pregnant. Vatokom vatelech, she got up and she went. Vatasar tzifa mialeha, and she took off her pretty hut cover. Vatilbash bigdei amunata, and she put back on her clothing, dressed up again like a widow. Vayishlach Yudad gidi ha'izim, as Yehuda promised, he sent right away the kid goat from his flock in order to get his collateral back. Biyad re'eu adulami, he sent it by way of his comrade, Chirad adulami. In order to get the collateral back from this woman, but Chira was not able to find her. Yehuda's friend, however, is very dedicated, and therefore he continues to look for her. He asked the people of the area, saying, where's this prostitute who is sitting in this place called Einayim, or on the crossroads here, on the way? They answered him, there was never a prostitute here at all. Yehuda and Chira's assumption was, this lady who Yehuda slept with was a regular prostitute at this intersection, and now the people tell him, there's never been a prostitute here at all. Now Chira is baffled and doesn't know what to do, and he's going to go back and report to Yehuda what happened. Pasach Abed. Vayashav el Yehuda, he returns to Yehuda, Vayomer lo metzatiha, and he told him, I didn't find her. Vagam anshei ha-makom amru lo hayta b'zeh kedeshah. And even the people of that area, they also told me there was never a prostitute at that spot. V'himr Yehuda, tikachla, pen yelavus. Yehuda then told Chira, take the sheep back, and pretty much let's give up on this, because if we keep on asking, it'll be very embarrassing. Pen yelavus, it'll be a big embarrassment to us. Hinei shalachti hagdi hazeh, because I've sent this goat to her, v'ata lo metzata, and you didn't find her. And if we keep on asking, it will be very embarrassing. Pasach Havdalet, Vayikim Shlosh Chodashim, 3 months passed by, Vayigal Yehuda Lemor, Zanta Tamar Kalatecha, Yehuda was told, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has acted like a harlot and become pregnant. Vagam Hinei Hara Lesnunim, and she's pregnant now, expecting twins. Vayomer Yehuda, Chutzi'uha B'tisaref. Yehuda became very angry, and Yehuda said, let her be taken out and let her be burnt for acting in such a manner. Pasach Havdalet, He Mutzeit, she was being taken out, before she was taken to be executed and to be burnt for her sin, she sent to her father-in-law as follows. In other words, she sent the collateral that Yehuda left her. She sent that to her father-in-law saying, the person that I'm pregnant from is the man who gave me this chotam and ptil and Mateh. In other words, all the things that Yehuda had given her. But Tomer Hakerna, and she said to him, I want you to recognize, Lemi HaChotemet V'Aptilim V'Mateh Ela, to who does this Chotemet signature ring and this wrap and this staff, to whom did these items belong? That's the person who I'm pregnant from. Notice the phrase Hakerna, which reminds us of the same Hakerna that the brothers use when sending Yosef's bloodstained coat in order to trick their father. Here Chumash is using very similar wording, which suggests to the reader that there's a connection between these stories. Pasach Chavav, Vayaker Yehuda, Yehuda recognized these items, Vayomer, Tzadka Mimeni, and he said, she is more righteous than I am. In other words, he realized his mistake, Ki Alkein Lo Netatia L'Sheila B'ni. She acted that way because I was supposed to give her Sheila in order to perform Yibum, and I didn't give her Sheila. I was one who was wrong, and she was one who was right. V'lo Yasaf Od L'Data, and he did not stop knowing her anymore. There's two ways to understand this pasuk. After this event, did he continue to be married to Tamar, or did he decide not to marry Tamar again? That's an argument among the commentators. Vahi Beit Lidata, several months later, when it was time to give birth and recall she was pregnant with twins, V'nei Tuamim B'vitna, behold, there were twins in her womb and ready to give birth. Vahi Beit Lidata, as she was giving birth, V'yiten Yad, one of the babies coming out extended his hand, V'tikach HaMiyaledet, the midwife, took a little ribbon, V'tikshor Al Yado Shani Lemor, she tied this little ribbon on his hand saying, Ze Yatsa Rishona, because his hand came out first to know that he was the firstborn. And when that baby put his hand back into the womb, right afterwards, his brother came out. And the midwife said, why are you rushing out? Your brother was supposed to come out first. That's why they tied the string around his hand. And you pushed your way out first. Therefore, Yehuda called the name of the first son. He called his name Peretz. Vachar Yatzachiv, afterwards, his brother came out. Asher Ayodo Hashani, the one who had the string tied around his hand. Vayikra Shmo Zarach, and Yehuda named his second son, he named him Zarach. That's the story of the birth of Yehuda's two sons. As we'll see, as the stories in Sefer Bereshit unfold, there'll be two focal points of leadership. Among the tribes, there'll be the leadership of Yosef and the leadership of Yehuda. And these two types of leadership will form a type of paradigm which will develop in a very interesting manner later on in Jewish history. In tomorrow's shir, in Chamishi, we're going to return to the story of Yosef and his brothers.